Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. And we're on. Got a couple of guests here. One old timer. She's young, but she's been on here several times. And we have Carl. Carl, welcome for your first time on this show. The way you speak, you sound like you've been on other ones, but that's not so important.
Thank you very much. Yes, you know what? I have been accused of talking a bit much, I'll be honest with you. So, yes, it does come a little bit naturally to me. But thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great. And we know you have expertise in this. PTSD, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're also going to weave it into where we are in our 12-step program, which is a fourth month where we talk about doing a moral inventory. You know, we focus more on the morality side than on the physical side, but by knowing where we are morally, we can usually determine not only what we did, probably what we're going to do physically, good, bad, or indifferent. You're far from the mic. Is that on purpose, by the way?
I'm loud on the container.
So because when she gets going, she's pretty good. She can just keep moving away and coming back, moving away and coming back.
You're known to be a little bit obnoxious, but today's for a good
Not program. Obnoxious, just loud.
Thanks, Scott.
If I let this go, she's going to keep going. Yes, I know. I can see this.
I know. So, but anyway, moral inventory, but and also, you know, where are we? You know, like, and more importantly, how did we get there? How did we get here? You know, what culminated in you sitting here, Carl, and you sitting here, Sue, and Jay over there. Jay, by the way, is our production fellow. Been here for a long time, doing a lot of great things. And for prayerful people out there, pray for this guy this week, because he's getting what they call a fistula, I believe, put
that's
into
right,
his
fistula,
arm.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a piece that allows his blood to be withdrawn and put back in. Not simply, but a little more comfortably than it would be if he were getting big darning needles stuck into his veins every couple of days. Isn't that right
exactly,
there, Jay?
Yeah. So much easier process for sure, yeah.
So people do that, and even more importantly, again, pray that if required, that the kidney donor is out there and ready and wants to give one for this brave young fella who's already had one from his sister that's kind of getting worn out after 19 years, which is kind of a record in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, so, you got to get rid of that one, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do that, and folks, remember, he's a good guy, and we need him around here, and I want him long after I'm gone to be here doing this stuff. So, Jay, we got you, and we're happy to have you on not only on the show, but sitting behind the wires and doing all the producing. You do a great job.
Thank you.
So, all that, we're going to talk about how we got here and what we do from here, and how we got here has a lot to do with what youth was all about. We talked a little bit about that before there, Carl. Mm-hmm. By the way, folks out there, I thought Carl was coming in with a daughter with a guitar, but that's just another little...
Surprises, yes. Never a dull moment.
Not really. Between Sue and I, we get a lot of wires going different ways, and that's all right, though, because,
we
have our jail ministry, and we get that done, and that's expanding and doing great, so we're in good shape.
The thing about miscommunication is you can always re-correct it, right, Scott? You can always change the course of action.
Well, you can laugh or blame and shame and all these things that make us even more screwed up. But anyway, where are we and how did we get started? So we'll keep that in mind, and we're going to go over to Carl a little bit and see how he got himself into... somewhat of an expert, I will say, in post-traumatic stress disorder. I listened to a taping that you had put together found that very interesting. And and I could see by listening that you're a guy that moves.
Well,
and
you
not
don't want to
slowly.
Stand still too much. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Look, the fire service kind of brings that out in people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always hear about people worried about their kids with, you know, extra energy and maybe can't spend too much attention with too much stuff. And, you know, I always say to them, you should bring them into a room with 30 firefighters during training. Okay, because after 30 minutes, none of them are sat still.
Yeah.
Right? Most kids are always on the go. Everybody's a little bit different. And that's the way I always was growing up. So it's funny, you know, education, school... I hate to be that stereotypical guy, but it never really worked for me. Yeah. And I did try it. Look, I had loving parents, a great childhood, all that jazz. But for some strange reason, sat in a chair didn't work for me, right? So, you know, I think this is, you know, it's beautiful how it worked in. You know, if you don't know that about yourself, how can you possibly find where you're supposed to be? You know, and I think this is a big problem in today's society is that, look, you know, it's so easy to listen to other people. Because you got to be honest, like, please, there's people in New York City right now working 24 hours a day, 8 days a week, trying to figure out a way to get you to look at a magazine cover. Right. It's almost laughable. Right, so when you're trying to make your own movements in life and life is constantly trying to make you the same as everybody else. Well, how do we find out what we truly want? So the problem was, is I spent most of my life thinking, well, I was plumb stupid. You know, I think Albert Einstein said it the best, right? If you judge a fish's ability on climbing a tree, that fish will always think it's stupid. You know, it really will. So you've got to be so careful about putting people in boxes this way. Nothing wrong with guiding. I mean, guiding's good, but putting them in a box, so dangerous. So look, I've always been one of these guys that are on the go, and by the grace of God, I found the fire service. It was just one of those jobs that I went, you know what, this really, really works for me. But, you know, I think I fell into the same trap as everybody else. You know, you start making money, you want a bigger house, you want more cars. And I think what you really start doing, or certainly what I started doing, was where do I make more money? How do I make more money? Like, I'm making money now, but how do I make even more? And I think the whole time that I was doing that, and I'm not looking down my nose at that for one second, but what I started doing was I didn't think about me at all anymore. Okay, it wasn't about me. It was the social status of where I can move up through life. Sure, absolutely, right? Yeah. So the problem that I found is the more that I tried to succeed in life, as society states that success is a 2.5-car garage, and escalade and all that, the more that I chased towards that, well, it's funny because the more I got away from what we're looking at in today's episode. Exactly, right. Because, well, when you're constantly looking at the stuff on the outside, well, there's not a lot of time to look inwards, right? Yeah. Yeah. Now, look, this works for some people, and that's great. You know, there's 7 billion people on the planet, so there's no one patent way. Yeah. But I think the reason why I do what I did is I realized just how devastating this path can be. Because by the time you hit a certain age, you know, let's be honest, you hit your mid-40s, your mid-50s, you're not starting a new career, okay? You're not starting a new life either. Yeah. I mean, some people do. Don't get me wrong. It definitely happens. I did it myself. But nobody wakes up at the age of 43 with a half-decent wife and kids that are okay and job I can tolerate and go, that's it. I can't handle it. I got to change my life. Nobody does that. Right? People wait till the absolute, the dire second before they go, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. And it's funny because, you know, talk about the whole, you know, the expert with the PTSD. Look, I learned by falling down. You know, this is not something I ever studied in school. Please, as far as I was concerned, if you had a problem, you rub dirt on it, right? Emotional problems, that's laughable. Like, emotional problems can't hurt a person. A physical problem can. A car racing towards you can damage me. So I think it's the same as anything else in life. When human beings start to evolve, okay, when we start moving forward, we start realizing that, okay, look, the way we did stuff in the past was, well, that was cool and it was great. But guys, we're moving forward. And the more that we learn about the human mind, the more we understand how people react to situations, I think it's so inspiring, the fact that what it does is it teaches back to the ancient teachings. You know, you look at the good book, you look at, like I said, Tibetan monks, this understanding that was understood thousands and thousands of years ago. What I find so fascinating about it now is that modern science is, well, it's confirming it. And I think this is why I get as well as passionate as I do about it, because this is something that an individual can obtain and it doesn't cost you anything. You know,
how do you mean that? Like, can
you know, to be able to look inwards, to be able to take time and self-reflect.
Self-knowledge you're talking
about? Yeah, you know, when you take time to self-reflect, unfortunately it doesn't show in a social status. Okay, people don't go, wow, there's an individual that really knows themselves.
So then, Carl, where we are in our program, trying to figure out, you know, how we got where we are, it kind of entails the things you're talking about. So we've got to have a serious look. And just let me ask you, because you've given them enough information in 7 minutes to think for the next month. But
I'm bad for this. I am.
No, but it's great. It's great. But I mean, when you came to some realization that this thing could also be detrimental and destructive and all that, you know, what brought you to that? In a lot of
the
areas, we would say,
back.
What brought you to your knees?
That's a fantastic question.
And do it in a hurry. Oh. No, no, don't, please.
I'll see what I can do. Okay, so, you know, here's the funny thing about human beings is we are incredible at tolerating pain.
Yeah.
Okay, it's incredible what human beings can withstand, and it's incredible what human beings will withstand, right? Yeah. I think there has to be a catalyst in an individual's life where they go, okay, that's it, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Now, for me personally, it wasn't going to happen to me. They could keep putting pain on me, and you know what? Mm-hmm. With, you know, I started drinking, right? Because that helps with situations, absolutely. It did in college. It doesn't in your 30s and 40s, right? But you'll do stuff to damper this pain, but you won't fix the problem. So the problem is I kept going down this terrible road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had a good friend of mine at work who, well, he committed suicide, right? And that's what happened. Okay. And that was, believe it or not, my catalyst.
Okay.
Now, was I sad when he passed away? Well, unfortunately, I have to tell this for the reasons that you understand. No, I wasn't sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's so interesting about it was I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that I noticed within our emergency services, I'm starting to notice in me now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's no denying what's going on. Look, our fire department alone has a 50% divorce rate.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Okay, firefighters in Ontario now earn over six figures. That's what we earn, right? Because trust me, in 30 years, there's a really good chance you're going to end up with cancer. Okay, that's why they get paid what they get paid, right? That's what's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
People that retire healthy, sometimes it doesn't happen so much in the fire service. This is why they pay as much as they do, right? So the problem is when I'm watching probably one of the strongest individuals I've ever met, the guy's name was Gene Wininski. He was 6'4", he was 230 pounds. The man was a golden god. Like, I wouldn't wear a shirt if I looked like him.
Yeah.
Like, he had everything. He was a single man. He was an incredible cook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this man could cook, right? I would pay the money to eat his food. And from us all us married guys, everybody wanted to be Gene. Everybody wanted to be Gene. Now, the problem is we don't understand what goes on in somebody's mind. Now, unfortunately, I'm a big believer in, you know, once this stuff starts beating you down, well, this affects your perspective. Okay, and this is why people then in the emergency services take their lives, and everybody's going, why? You know, he was a beautiful person. Yeah. He had a great job. Well,
looks
they're
receiving, right?
Extremely, right. They're so the problem is when I saw Gene do what he did, I thought, this guy's 10 times stronger than I am.
Yeah.
Whatever went after him is now hunting me. So the thing is that my life could have got as bad as it did. I went through a separation. You know, I had two young kids. You know what? Drinking problem. All the stereotypical stuff. But guys, please understand, there's no point in that I would have said, okay, look, I have needed to change
you
my life.
You got a problem. Okay.
You know what I would have done? I would have gone, I got 12 years to retirement.
Yeah.
And that's what most people in the emergency services do.
Yeah.
Okay, look, if I just get through the 12 years, if I can just get to 60, I will be able to buy a cabin in the woods and everybody can leave me alone.
Yeah.
And the problem is when you see this happen over and over and over again, what's the most confusing is people in the emergency services get into this line of work to help people.
Yeah.
So why is it after 30 years they try to get as far as away from them as they can? This doesn't make sense. So, you know, you start looking at this as the same way in the 1970s, everybody had bad backs. Oh, I got a bad back. You know, I can't work. I got a bad back. Until physiotherapy came in and said, look, we can make your employees stronger.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're seeing the same movement in the psychological standpoint now.
Yeah.
All right?
I guess in your field, you know, they're out helping people, but having to bet see that they should get help for themselves, right? You're falling apart at the seams, but I don't want to admit that I'm falling apart at the seams, and I'll be damned if I'm going to tell my coworkers and my colleagues and even my family or the people closest to me that I'm falling apart, right?
Well, it's that ticking time bomb thing of, look, I'm a type A personality. I don't ask for help.
Yeah.
Okay, I give help. That's what I do. And the problem is that if I'm asking for help, that's kind of like seeing a guy with a bomb specialist shirt on saying, if you see me running, follow me, right? You know what I mean? Look, if a firefighter is panicking, we got real problems.
Yeah.
So the problem is that's hardwired into your mind.
Right.
So and the thing is a lot of people don't realize that when you leave work, your subconscious mind doesn't really know.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you know, right? But the problem is the way I act at work, I'm going to treat my kids the same way when I get home.
Sure.
All right, now look, if that doesn't happen, then hey, great for you. Two thumbs up, you're living life awesome. Yeah. But the fact is if you're getting to a point where you spend all day trying to help people, but you come home and hurt the people you love, guys, there's stuff we got for that. And you know, you have some of the strongest human beings, you know, committing suicide. These people have been through wars.
Yeah.
Like, they've actually survived a conflict, a military conflict, yet their mind eats them alive.
Yeah.
Fascinating problem.
Right? Hold those thoughts, guys. Right. We're going to have to take a quick break and pay some bills around here. And I think Jay is going to do exactly that. And we'll have another break down the road and probably hear a song. And usually kind of goes in keeping with what we're discussing because, you know, Jay's pretty good at that. So, Jay, take us away, pay some bills, and bring us back.
All right, time to pay some bills. And we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.